anymore. How many are getting your heart set for Holy Communion? Your heart, when we talked about God loving us in spite of our obvious faults and failures, how many kind of related to the fact that most of us don't have a problem with thinking too highly of ourselves? Most of us probably in this room, because in any room it's the same thing. It's not because I know some of your personal struggles just a little bit. There's a lot of things we keep well hid. If I ask everybody in this room, how are you today? You'd probably say, I'm fine. That's the standard pat answer to get people off our back and not really have to deal with certain things. And we just don't want to open up. And I mean, and really, you know, people probably don't want to hear it, you know. Most people really don't have time. You tell them what's really wrong. And they say, I mean, it would be terrible if I said, Dale, how are you today? And she said, well, Brother Venable, have you got about an hour and a half? and start telling the deepest secrets of our soul and our heart, and not only that, telling our most intimate personal struggles that we're having, and not only that, telling the things that are immediate in our life right now, or maybe things we've struggled with since childhood, or maybe things that are going on in our marriage, and maybe things going on in our relationship to our families, our children. There's a myriad of things that can be troubling to us and make us feel like that maybe we're not handling as well as we should, you know. But we just don't open up, and I don't think necessarily we should. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Amen. But confessing those things needs to be done. You need to connect with somebody that won't think any less of you, certainly won't tell it to anybody else. That you can, I tell you, you got to find a friend that's a real, genuine friend to be absolutely real with. You have that kind of friendship in the Lord. You don't ever have to put on before Him. It's foolish to do that. The Bible said there's nothing, that's what's incredible to me about His love. Number one, there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Isn't that incredible? God, man looks on the outward appearance. God says, "Hey, I set the macro or the micro. Amen. I go beyond what can be seen with the eye. I put it under the microscope. Man looks on the outward appearance. Where does God look? He looks at the heart. It's not just what we do; it's why we do it. Can you say amen? He sees the underlying motive. He knows today if I'm preaching because I just love to hear me talk. Amen." He knows that. He knows. He knows if I'm preaching for the all the benefits, you know, that Grand Cherokee that you all got the down payment on. He knows if that's, you know, that's going to surprise me with for you know, some occasion coming up. He knows that. You know, He knows if that's what I'm down here, but if that's what's motivating me. He knows that already. He knows if I'm preaching because I feel that I'm responsible and y'all would think I was backslid or whatever if I just said, you know, I'm too discouraged, I'm giving up ministry. He knows why I'm doing it. He knows if I'm doing it because I love Him and I love you. He knows that too. And if I do it all my life and fool you and sometimes deceive myself, ultimately when I stand before the Lord, He is going to judge not just what I did with my life and my time and my talent and my tithe. He is going to judge why I did it. And the only part of anything I do that's going to be rewarded is that is done with the right motive. Can you say, man? That's why God wants true worshipers. He says you can go through the perfect worship program and all the prescribed things of singing of my praises. You can do all of that, but it has to come. If you're here and you really resent being here, you really don't want to be here, whatever you do here until that issue is settled in your heart, it will be meaningless to God. Amen? It just won't mean anything. If you give, some people, you can't be a part of a church unless you give. Some people want to find it. Some people want to scrutinize you to the degree to make sure you're not cheating, that they want a financial statement of your yearly income. And at the end of the year, they want to compare that to your giving and make sure that the 10% is there. That you. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you think that's really, there are churches that do that in this county. Because I've got some, I know some people that went and wanted to become a member, and they want to make sure that you're fulfilling your responsibility for their criterion for membership. And so there's got to be people that are giving in order to stay a member in good standing, rather than giving because they really love God. And God doesn't want things coming in a legalistic way. He don't want you obeying Him just because He said so. He wants you obeying Him because you love Him and you respect Him. Can you say amen? That kind of obedience He can bless. That kind of giving. The Bible said don't give out of necessity. Don't make it some mandatory thing that if you don't, you can't belong, you can't do this, you can't do it. Not out of necessity, and don't do it grudgingly. I don't want it that way either. I don't want you to give, but really resent the fact that you got to. Because He said that's meaningless. You know, I'm that way myself. As much as I love gifts, I mean, you love getting a gift. I mean, it's not fleshly. It's not wrong. The Bible said He gives us all things richly to what? Enjoy. Amen. If somebody gives you, somebody gave me a gift certificate to Outback, I'm going to get the chicken on the Barbie. That's my favorite. It's like a piece of chicken as like a steak almost. I mean, and it's grilled and it's marinated and it's big and I enjoy that. But if you're here out of resentment, if you're here begrudgingly, if you begrudge the time that you spend in God's house and look at it as something that imposes and cuts into your time, amen. We're playing a silly game with God. Can you say amen? But if you're serving Him because you love Him, see, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. No matter what you're doing, He wants it to come from the heart. He always looks at the heart attitude. And the Bible said at the judgment seat of Christ, everybody, this is not the great white throne. This is not to see if you're going to heaven or to prove that you're not going to heaven. This is absolutely going to take place when we get to heaven for every believer. There is a bema, not a bema, a bema, B-E-M-A. There might be a spiritual connotation here to bema. You know what I mean? That might be, I don't know. Watch your step, I'm telling all you. Amen. No, the bema is the judgment seat of Christ. And that means where every man's works are going to be tried. And they're going to be tried with fire. Amen. And everything that constitutes what God looks at is the wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. What does that mean? It means that everything that was done from the wrong motive, God is not going to reward anyone for. He said that is rubbish. But everything that stands the test of fire, you'll be rewarded for. Can you say amen? And the fire illuminates and the fire purifies and if it's pure gold, fire tempered to the right heat is not going to hurt it. If it's pure silver, fire is not going to hurt it. If it's wood or hay, fire is going to consume it. Amen. At the judgment seat, all the secrets of the heart are going to be laid bare. Amen. That's not determining where you spend eternity. It's determined whether you will be rewarded or you will be ashamed before Him. I want to be completely honest in my heart before God. What I do for Him, I want to do it because I love Him. When I feel it becoming a burden and a responsibility and resentment begins to build of, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, and over here they get this and they get that, and here I am being faithful. I get those kind of attitudes that could discourage me and distract me. I want to cast them down and say, Lord, I love You with all of my heart. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do for You, I'm going to do it with my whole heart. With my whole being. Amen. I want to preach here this morning in our intimate setting with the same kind of enthusiasm, with the same kind of study preparation, prayer preparation, amen, that I would if I was asked to speak in a church of 10,000 this morning. Amen. I don't want to preach any different here. Amen. Because what I'm doing is serving my God. Amen. By serving You. Did you hear me? By serving You, I'm serving Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to do it from the heart. And if this is my calling and we're here for a purpose that we don't fully understand, and I want to do this and I want to be faithful to do this. Amen? Praise God. Listen to me. But there's a day coming when all of the ulterior motives, I heard a guy that I really respected. I could call his name. I will not. Because it's an embarrassing thing to talk about to me. I would be embarrassed if someone knew this about me. But he was called to an effective ministry, grew up and preached in Plant City, lived there for years, and he took a church in Minnesota. Minnesota, if you don't know about the winters, I can tell you right now, they are a brutal winters in Minnesota. the Minnesota Vikings football team and the Green Bay Packers all in that area up there where it gets brutally cold. He took a church up there and was prosperous and in terms of spiritual result and enjoyed ministering there for years. But he finally came back to Plant City to preach. By the way, within a year, I never heard of him again. I don't know if he retired, quit, whatever. But the reason he said that he came back from Minnesota was those winters are so cold. Nothing about God's leading, God's calling, but just now it's what is more convenient for me. If someone's in a pulpit out of convenience, whether it be because we're going to buy him a Rolls Royce or whether we're going to pay him a huge salary, or if he's there out of convenience, if he's there out of ego, saying, you know, if it's a big church that can make me look good, I'll take it. If it's a small church that I can't look as, won't get the same respect, I will reject it. God knows that. And you understand what I'm saying? God knows why every man, every woman serves him, does it. He knows the musicians. If they want to show off how great they can play their instrument to an audience for applause, and they play to you, just like they do in Branson, Missouri, or Nashville, Tennessee, they play to you. Amen. But there are those musicians that whether you applaud them or not, or whether you can consider them great or not, is not the real issue, and they may be fantastic musicians, but they play for him. Can you say amen? They literally praise God on their instruments. God knows the motive. Both of them are playing, may play the same song, may sing the same song, but God knows the motive. If you have a if you're in a service that you really don't want to be there, I just don't want to be there. Amen. You're sitting here. It cancels everything. God is looking at your heart. And if there's something in your heart that is taking away that want to and building resentment, you need to get it fixed. If you're going to fool with God at all, have a relationship with Him of integrity and honesty. Can you say amen? Because He knows what is in the human heart. Man can only see what we project. God knows what is truly happening in the heart. So nothing no persona that we take on before Him affects Him, because He knows the real us, the true you and the true me. David wanted God to know him that deeply and that intimately when he said, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any unclean way in me." Amen? He opened his life to God's scrutiny. I mean, God knew anyway, but David wanted God to show him. Amen? He didn't have to open his heart for God to see in it. He opened his heart so God could show him. I want to see. I want to see like you see. The church of Laodicea had a vision of themselves as being rich, increased with goods, and needing nothing. What was Christ? And you know, they would have looked like the best. I mean, it's the richest church in the seven of Asia. They said it, and it was true. We're rich and increased with goods. And we don't need anything. I mean, if God ain't in this, what is He in? Look what we got here. Look what we built here. Amen? Some of them, not all, but some of the mega churches are having problems in leadership, serious issues in leadership, fundamentals of the faith that are breaking down in the very leaders. So can we attribute all of that out here to God? Or are we ministering a message that people want to hear and are willing to support the ministry to hear over and over and over again? God's message gets a lot deeper than just sowing seed, confession, faith. It gets down, amen, to the issues of the heart. It always, the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive and it is full of spiritual potential. Can you say amen? It is quick and powerful and it divides asunder. It separates. It separates. Is there a sword still over there? The Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick is not how fast. It's not anything to do with fast. Amen. It is quick and it is powerful. Wow, I didn't even see this. You know what this says? This says what Gideon's army said. The sword of the Lord and Robert A. Venable as the pastor of the church. Wow. You know what they said? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Following God by following His leadership is going to assure us of victory. Everybody say, following God. And following His leadership is going to assure us of victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Word of God is quick and it is powerful and it divides asunder. And it's the only thing in the world that has the ability of categorizing, separating, and dividing between marrow and bone. What is marrow and bone all about? We're building to the fact that you are a triune being. You are more than just have a brain and you have a body. You have more than brain and body. You have a spirit. Can you say amen? And the world addresses brain and body, but it never, amen, distinguishes between the soul and the spirit. Can you say amen? It stops with the brain. It stops with the mind. It stops with the emotions. That's why no psychologist, psychiatrist, sociologist can address the deepest needs of your life. Only the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? And He can do it and He will do it. And I got news for you today. Here's a news flash for you. When you get those spiritual issues addressed, it's going to start affecting your mind positively and your body with health. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God is quick and powerful to the dividing of sunder. Dividing asunder means separating, but something that is unified now is being separated. Separating the marrow from the bone, the soul from the spirit. A lot of times you just go to church to hear a message to meet felt needs, something addressed to your soul, amen, and not touching the deeper issue. It's the spirit of a man that will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The Bible said to be strengthened with all might. Some people to get the physical sense of God's presence. If we fall out, get holy laughter, get goose pimples, we know God is in the room. There's a deeper thing than anything you can feel in your body. Can you say amen? There is a spiritual knowledge. There is a spiritual understanding. There's a spiritual appreciation. There's a spiritual perception of God Almighty. Amen. That has nothing to do with how you feel. You may feel like you have been jerked through a knot hole backward, but if in your spirit a truth is held that God has revealed to you spiritually, it will overrule and override what your body feels and your mind is thinking. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen. What the devil wants to keep you out of God's house. He wants to keep you away from God's Word. Go to all the gospel things you want if they're performing to your soul and addressing your soul and your emotions. Get an emotional high at that thing and come out feeling better. But go home and face spiritual warfare. And nothing you got in your emotions can help you win. Only what has been invested in your spirit can help you win. Wow. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? This is not about the power of positive thinking. However, if you get this spiritual strength, you will begin to think positively. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen? We went in there. I mean, it's easy to you know, I mean, I don't even try positive thinking. Amen. It's got to go beyond that. But it can change your thinking. I made a funny, I don't usually talk this way, but at work, someone came up and we had this terrible day. Everything was broke down, couldn't pasteurize milk. First shift couldn't do their half, and we had the whole to do, which means over 100,000 gallons on our shift that we needed to run. That's going to take us well past quitting time. I mean, it became, actually it took 16 hours. Fortunately, I was able to leave because someone came in. People don't answer phones if it says Superbrand on them or Winn-Dixie. You do not answer the phone because that means they are desperate for help. They're looking for warm bodies, fresh meat, whatever they're looking for, amen. But but some people had to stay 16 hours and pull what's called a double. Amen. And it about killed these young people. It's tough. It's tough to pull an eight, let alone pull a double. But anyway, someone went, came in and said, "Well, how's it going today?" They didn't know what had happened. I said, "It is terrible. It is awful. It is bad." I said, "In fact, it's not just bad. It's bad." Amen. And they said, "Well, Rev, you need to think positive." I said, "I'm positive. It's bad." You can't just use positive things. There has to be something in your spirit. So the Bible said, He has strengthened us with all might. Where does He invest this power from on high? Where does He invest it in us? He has strengthened us with all might in the inward man. Somebody say the inward man. Spirit of a man. That core of your being, that part of you that's going to live forever, that part of you that can be strengthened, rise up. And listen, I'm going to submit to you today, amen, that God did not give us the spirit of fear. What God has invested in us is the spirit of power. You'll be strengthened with might. Where's this power invested? In your inward man. Amen. The enemy wants you constantly, amen, getting all of your signals from your soul and your body, not from your mind, not your spirit, amen. The devil says that will keep them locked in to what the flesh and the mind can overcome and what they can take and what can be addressed through the flesh and mind. The Bible said God invests His power, not in your mind initially. It will affect your mind, not in your body initially. It will affect your body because a merry heart doeth good like what? Like a medicine. Can you say, man? A merry heart will do that. This is not just an emotional high. Again, we said a merry heart. There has to be something in your spirit that starts to come up. We used to sing, "It's bubbling, it's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole." Some people don't understand it. I'll tell you the reason why. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Out of your belly. Not the fact that you have learned the Roman road to witness. Not, come on, we got to have more than just being able to intelligently convey a truth. There has to be something in here that comes up and comes out here. Amen. That changes everything from mere words addressed to the mind, but His word addressed to the spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's spirits that are captive and minds that are blinded that need to be set free. In order to get them set free, we need to start walking in spiritual liberty and freedom. God loves you today. That's an unarguable, unalterable truth. We need to get it settled in our heart and start rejoicing in Him. Hallelujah. That's why the Word of God is so vital and important. It distinguishes between just your soulish person. There's preaching designed just for your soul, not your spirit. And you're more than a soul. The seat of your affections and your will and your intelligence. Amen. There is a part of you that is beyond that. The Lord God sanctify you wholly. If you're going to be H-O-L-Y, it takes complete sanctification. It leaves you H-O-L-L-Y. But in order to leave you H-O-L-Y, you have to be the Lord God, the Scripture said, sanctify you W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely. And then it says what complete sanctification is. Spirit. Say spirit. Soul and body. The world acknowledges soul and body. They do not acknowledge the spiritual part of you by and large. Except some of the, you know, the Eastern religions and some of the, you know, crazy stuff. But the world in general doesn't go there. That's why they accumulate everything that seemed like mentally and physically, you know. Some people get a wife, some of these guys out here with the cool cars and the big bucks, they want a trophy. They call them a trophy wife. You know what a trophy wife is? You know, I put on my bling bling. I get my bling. Does anybody here don't know what bling is? You don't know, but you don't want to admit you don't know. Okay. Amen. Okay, I understand. It's a white thing. It's a white thing. We just don't want to admit that we don't know, that we're not hip cats in here. Amen. Bling is jewelry. You know, I've seen people with chains that would hurt my neck because they gold, and gold is like up $1,000 an ounce now. It's incredible. Amen. So if you've invested in gold, you doeth well. But anyway, a guy's got, you know, he's got this great Hummer. And he's got the spinner wheels, amen. The wheels probably cost more than my car, my truck out there, a piece. $1,500 for wheels is not a big... Honestly, you can pay $1,500 for wheels to put on the $60,000 Hummer if you get the one all tricked out. Tricked out, you probably don't know that either. But anyway, I'm going to quit speaking in tongues and talk to you plainly in just a moment. Amen. Amen. And you know what that guy's looking for? I got my bling on. I got this big, all this gold, you know, and I got this great automobile, and here I am projecting this great image. You know, I need one more accessory. You know what I need? I need this gal that when I put on my when I get my freak on, amen, you know, and I need this gal here that can come link up with me. I just wish your son was here to hear this. Okay, anyway. And because he thinks I'm over the hill, and I'm trying to convince him I'm as cool as he ever was. Anyway, amen. And they want an accessory. I'm going to tell you something. So there's a lot more to marriage than somebody that looks good in an Olin Mills photo. Can you say amen? Come on. You've got to go home and live with that person. They got to live with you. Can you say amen? You got to live, and you got to go through the tough times, and you got to go through the struggles, and you got to get through all these things. And I happen to have a wife that is a good one and is also the trophy wife. Come up here. Come on. Come on. All right. I got a double blessing. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. Sociologists have just come out with a study, and you know what they said? They said if you really want someone to really sow into your life in a relationship, find someone that thinks that you are prettier or more handsome than they are. And then they, in order to keep your attention because they're insecure, will always be trying to ingratiate themselves to you to keep you interested in them. In other words, find somebody that in their opinion, I'm kind of the mousy one, you're the outgoing one, I'm kind of the backward one, and you're the forward one, and I'm kind of the semi-intelligent one, and you're the real intelligent one, and I'm kind of I look okay, but you look great. Find someone like that, and because they consider you so much better than they are, they will always be saying, you know, I'm really not worthy of that person. I'm going to keep doing things and doing things to keep their attention. I've seen women and I've seen men trying their best to hold the attention of someone that they ought to have their heart. They shouldn't even think of a relationship. And if they got their heart, amen, they don't have to. That don't mean you don't sow into one another. Be positive, be good to one another. But you don't live in this threat situation. See, that's one thing God wants to take off of you today. Yeah. He don't want you to feel like you have to earn what He gave you freely through Jesus Christ at the cross. You can't earn that. What is supposed to change you is not that you've come up to His expectation and earned His blessing. No, you can't earn this. It comes by gift or you can't get it at all. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus died for you on the cross, He wants a spiritual understanding of just what happened there to get down on the inside of you and get down on the inside of me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God didn't give you, Timothy, the spirit of fear. Here's what God has invested in you. He gave you the Spirit. This is what's been sown into your spirit man where He's invested. God gave you the Spirit of power. God has strengthened you with might. And listen, He's talking to a man. I better put this up lest I hurt myself with it. Amen. Listen to me. He absolutely was discouraged. His soul and spirit were expressing total discouragement. Paul's letter was to encourage him. And part of the... Listen, you can be discouraged and have faith in your heart. You can be discouraged and have might in your heart. You can be spiritually... You can be spiritually absolutely out of touch with your inward man and not understand that there's power in you. Even when you feel your worst, God has invested His Spirit in your inward man. And to them that hath no might, He increases strength. Can you say amen? When I am weak, when I sense, amen, in my soul that I have pushed to the limits, stressed to the limits, I can't take anymore, I can't figure it out. When I am weak and I feel in every fiber of my mind and body and emotions weakness, then I am made strong. Why? Because then, amen, He's not relying on His mind to figure it out, His body to be mighty and strong. He is relying not on His emotions, but on His undying spirit where God has invested His might and power. Can you say amen? And up out of His belly flowed rivers of living water. And He was made strong. Not because God came on the scene, but because God never left the scene. Lo, I am with you. And where is He with us? Within us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's no more I that live. See, this is coming up out of my spirit now. Hallelujah. It's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live it victoriously by the faith of God. And the faith of Christ who loved me, and listen to this, and gave Himself for me. Praise God. He gave Himself for me. That's where we're moving into Holy Communion today. God wants you to maintain your humility and never become self-confident. But He wants you to be confident in Christ in you. Amen? Amen? The world stops with soul and spirit. The Christian goes beyond that. They stop with soul and body, rather. The Christian goes beyond it. That's why nobody can satisfy these people. Psychologists can't. I mean, Dr. Phil went down to talk to Brittany. Brittany needs a spiritual renovation. Everybody that don't know Jesus does. It doesn't matter how much wealth we accumulate, fortune and fame. If I was a parent of Hannah Montana, because of where Brittany began in the Disney purity and then transferred into the rock and rap world, and look what has happened to her. There's a danger in what the church is even teaching we should all go after right now. Unless we're spiritually balanced and spiritually grounded and spiritually centered, there's a danger. There's a danger in preachers rising to heights of influence where people just take every word they say and hang on it, and of being puffed up with pride. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I have gotten some deep revelations that I share, and people look at me with their mouth unhinged literally when I speak. And he said, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations God has given me, there was assigned to me an emissary from hell to buffet me. Isn't that incredible? God said, if I don't balance your blessings with something that keeps you dependent and acknowledging your need for me, you're going to become self-sufficient, self-serving, self-exalting. Self will not stay dead, but it will resurrect, and it will kill what I'm trying to accomplish in your life. And it will disqualify you for true spiritual strength. Never think the anointing equates with spiritual strength within. There's a lot of anointed people that can lay hands on 500 people and have them all fall flat on the floor. Such an anointing. Amen? That have seen miracles in their ministry. But they themselves succumb to temptation. Hello? Don't think that the anointing that comes upon you to do something for God with is the same thing of the Spirit of God within you. Amen? Samson went and laid with a Philistine harlot. Got up the next morning, because the gifts and calling are without repentance. Got up the next morning, found that the Philistines had locked the gates on that huge city until they could come and capture him, so he couldn't get away. You know what he did? He got up, and this was not Delilah, by the way. Before he met Delilah, he was already compromising God's standard, already taking for granted that the Spirit of God will always come on me no matter what I do, because he always does. Can you say amen? There was nobody stronger than Samson as a physical man. I mean, the guy went to the gates of a city that battering rams couldn't beat down. Amen. You know what he did? The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Grabbed, hey, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, David said, by thee, O Lord, I've run through a troop and jumped over a wall. Amen. I've felt that way before. And he took those two big gates and took them off the hinges. Ripped them off the hinges. Walked up on a hillside and slammed them down. The Philistine said, we can't touch you. We can't touch you. Spirit of God came upon him. But when he met this one lady that the Philistines paid to find out the source of his strength, who seduced him, he didn't have anything in here. Nothing in here. Amen? He was bankrupt in the character. He didn't have nothing. He couldn't, he was so blind. I mean, the woman says, tell me the source of your strength. Oh, Samson, tell me. If you'd love me, you would tell me. So he lied just to get her off his back and said, they've been using aged cords. If you get new green cords and bind me, they're stronger than the ones that have already been bleached by the sun. They've already started dry rot. You get new green cords and it'll hold me. And surprise, amen? Such surprise for you. Amen. You know what? He wakes up and what's he bound with? New green cords. Who did he tell that to? Only her. Honey, ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, you know, wouldn't that alert you? The only person that knew it is the person you told in confidence. Nobody else knew it. And you wake up and, whoa, there you are. And guess what? The Spirit of the Lord came on him. Some of the revelations of fallen ministers have come a week after a great crusade where people came to Christ or people were healed. Spirit of the Lord coming to manifest an anointing to preach is not the same as me bowing to Jesus. Amen. Being strengthened with might in the inner man. And when the enemy comes saying no by submitting to God and resisting Him and seeing the devil flee from me. There's a difference, can you say, man? Hallelujah. You've got to have more than the ability to speak in tongues. You've got to be able to say no to the devil, no to the world, and no to the flesh. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah in this room. Woo! There's a lot of people can speak for 15 minutes in other tongues but can't say no in English. I mean, we need to tell the devil, what is it about? No! Don't you understand? The devil comes and said, if I were you, I would give them a piece of my mind. You just turn around and say, no! I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And I appreciate the price so much, the flesh is not going to win today. I'm going to bow to Him whom my soul loveth. So no devil and no flesh. That's victory. Wow. I love the true stories that come out of human relationships where love is expressed. Not even when things go terribly wrong. Like the lady that was so disfigured in an accident that she survived, but it left her, even with plastic surgery, grotesque on one side of her face. And took the bandages off. What had happened was so horrendous that it just was irreparable. The bones had been so crushed, there just wasn't anything to build to on that one side of her face. And her surgeon and her husband were there when the bandages came off, and she saw what was to be her face for the rest of her life. And her own initial shock was bad enough, but then she looked straight to her husband to see his reaction. And he said what she desperately needed to hear at that moment. You are so beautiful to me. And he bent over on the bad side of that face. And he gave that kiss that said, I love you for more than what the exterior is all about. I love you because of something on the inside of you. See, that's why God talks the way He talks. He says, you know, your true beauty, women, He made you prettier than us. Can I get an amen? 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 They're prettier than us. They really are. And God knew that you would know that you were pretty. And that you might start depending on the beauty that is natural to you as a lady. Instead of the character that's so beautiful to God. So He said to you, lady, He didn't say don't plait your hair, and He didn't say don't put on apparel. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Stay out of pride. Become a nudist. I mean, if you're not going to plait your hair, don't put on apparel either. I mean, come on. Let's get real about this. No, the putting on of apparel. Well, what He's saying is this. There's nothing you can do to the outside of you that can take the place of what God wants and looks for on the inside of us. Amen? He said, your beauty as a lady, don't let it be just the outward appearance, like the plaiting of the hair, the putting on of gold, or the wearing of apparel, getting that great dress. It says, whoa, this is great. And this necklace, from wherever, and saying, wow, this is the perfect accessory, and these shoes I found half price. Woo! Look at those shoes that go with this purse, that go with this necklace, that go with this dress, that go with this face. Amen. And then you walk down, and my sixth grade teacher used to teach moral truths to us from the Bible, right in school. Amazing. Miss Stokes. She came to our church, heard me preach before she passed away. She went to a Baptist church on Highway 92, and I mean that lady was a Christian without apology. And she said, and you girls, she says, you know that how boys are. She says, you know how they are. She was telling the whole class, says, you know how they are. Said, don't do anything to, says, and don't walk around here. And she went like this. And she had white hair. She's a big, tall lady. And, she looked like one of those pond birds when she would get in that mode. And she says, don't walk around here like a spider on a hot griddle. I never forgot that. But every time I see that walk, I think, spider on a hot griddle. Right there in the mall. Where's Miss Stokes? She'll put a stop to that. God is saying, you can beautify yourself until you're so filled with pride in yourself, you walk around like a spider on a hot griddle. But on the inside of you, I'm looking for meekness. See, we've even got ministry on pedestals, and some of them walk around like spiders on a hot griddle. And we want to be like them because that's what's cool. Image in politics. Be very careful. Image usually wins over substance. We call the White House Camelot. And we got a young, handsome man by the name of John F. Kennedy. We actually called it Camelot. We got a prince and princess. And everybody wanted what? The Jackie look. Did anybody relate? Anybody live through that era? I was bagging groceries when Kennedy was shot. Married. Taking care of my family. And everybody wanted the Jackie look because that was cool and that was in. In ministry, the Bible said, see, Jesus didn't fit the bill when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Jesus just didn't fit the bill when he was born in a manger. We're still trying to get him somewhere else because we just can't handle the fact that God has a different value system than this old, fleeting, passing, proud-filled, puffed-up world. I hope if you need a relationship in your life that you'll find someone that if you were horribly disfigured sees the you that's in the you and says, that's okay, my love is just as strong as it ever would. I don't want an accessory. I want a partner, hallelujah, in life. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. When we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. But we did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. His visage was marred more than any man's. It was repulsive when we saw him after they beat him half to death. It was nothing. Just blood, spittle, puncture wounds from the crown of thorns, welts from beating with a stick across the head and the back. They had beat him so bad that they tore the flesh. Cat of nine tails has shards of metal, glass, or pottery tied in the end of the nine pieces of the whip that was braided leather. They didn't want to leave welts. When they hit with it, it would wrap around the torso. And when they yanked it back, those shards that dug into the flesh would pull flesh. Chunks of flesh would come loose. Jesus said of his experience, my bones stare out of me. You know what that means? They had pulled enough flesh from this terrible beating before I went up that hill that it opened up the skin and you could see the rib bones because the flesh, there's a thin part right here in the torso that can be opened up and you can see the actual bones of the rib. And he said, my bones stare out of me. That's an incredible, torturous thing to go through. And what he wants back from his church is a love for who he is. What kind of God would do that for you and for me? He said, my tongue, I could hardly speak. My mouth is so dry, my tongue cleaves in Psalm 22 to the roof of my mouth. He couldn't breathe. So when he talks, what he said on that cross was so powerful and wonderful because it pained him and he had to deprive himself of even more oxygen even to try to talk. But he did talk. He's hanging there in that kind of agony and he's concerned about his mama, his earthly mother, that woman who raised him up. This is God incarnate in pain and suffering. And he says to one of the disciples standing with her, he says, son, behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son. You take care of her. I mean, He's not saying anything about his pain, his suffering there. Where he said that is in his foreknowledge. He knew what was coming. Because in Psalm 22, the anointing came on David. And he started talking about Jesus' passion on the cross in the first person. Incredible Psalm, Psalm 22. Read it, it'll make you cry if you love Jesus. Because you'll see everything he was experiencing on that cross. My bones stare out of my body. My tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. And he says to the thief on the cross that says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He turns to him and says, today, we're both going to die before this day is over, but today you're going to be with me in paradise. If you think he went somewhere else, that's not what he said. Amen. How do we follow preachers that preach the exact opposite of what Christ said and taught and try to twist the scripture to make it true? Honey, you don't have to be a theologian with a PhD to figure out today. What does today mean to you? It means that this day. Where are we going to be? I don't know where you're going. I got to go down in hell and take man's punishment from the devil too. No, it's finished on the cross. Today we're going to be together in paradise. Nothing to argue about. It's said and done. Just don't follow false teachers, that's all. Write it off. They're just trying to find something different to pull you away from the foundations of the faith to get more followers for themselves. Coming up with something new and improved or something nobody else knows, but they got a special insight. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Come on. Nobody has a corner on it. Amen. Truth is for everyone because the Holy Spirit is coming. He is the Spirit of truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't run away from people. Don't walk away from people like that. Run away. God is looking for character, and the church needs to start looking for it within ourselves and demanding it out of our leadership. Pastor needs to be more than anointed. He needs to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So he can say, follow me as I cast out devils. No, follow me as I heal the sick. No, follow me as I get filthy rich. No, follow me as I get power and influence. No, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Following Christ means I deny myself, take up my cross, and become obedient to His Lordship. Does that mean I'd get it perfect? No. But it means I do not question His Lordship. He has the right, and I have the responsibility. You're bought with a price. If you don't give yourself away, He can't take what He has bought with His precious blood and mold it into what He wants it to be. But the day that you surrender all and say, Lord, Lord, take the whole of me. I love you for what you've done for me at the cross. I give my life to you. And then let God invest in you spiritually. And He will. He will strengthen you in the inward man. And even when you're weak on the outside because you're strengthened on the inside, what's on the inside will transcend what's on the outside. You can say no. And the devil has no choice at that point. Can you say amen? He needs a yes to come in and do what he does. But a no stops him if it's meant from the heart. Hallelujah. You know what I was going to minister this morning? We got to get to the communion service. And I want to minister this so bad. This was the prelude to this sermon. That's all this was. But it's too late to have the sermon now. I want to talk about, had I followed the outline today completely, and I want to get down into this outline. I want to talk about five indisputable truths. Five questions that Satan can never question. He can't answer them. He has no counter answer for them. And I'm just going to read the scripture I would have used before communion. I just want to read it. Romans 8:31 through 39. What then Romans 8, 31 through 39. And would someone get the communion prepared? We get ready to be served. Would you do that, Sandra? Thank you so much. What then shall... Have you enjoyed what we've talked about so far? Are we getting more than just talking about the cross alone, but talking about God's love for you and me? And Him wanting us to trust that love enough to be more honest with Him? And trust that love enough to receive it, even when we don't feel like we deserve it? But to go ahead and acknowledge God loves me, and because He loves me, He can change what I can't change. Help me with my weaknesses. Can you say, man, work from the inside out? What then shall we say to these things? Verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Question number one. If God is for us. Well, no devil in hell can stand up and say, I can withstand them effectively. Come on, no priest, no preacher, no one of any kind of spiritual authority, no angel can bring in that, can stand up and say, I can still prevail, fallen or otherwise. If God is for us, who can be against us? God being for you don't mean that He won't chasten you when you're wrong. God being for you don't mean that you can't give place to the devil. God being for you means that no matter what condition you're in, God is in your corner. And if you will repent of a sin that snagged you, God is faithful and just to forgive it and cleanse you from it and strengthen you to overcome it. Can you say amen? God is always for His children's victory. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Here's another thing the devil can't refute, and we'll do this in depth sometime. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Question mark is here. This is a question. Can anybody answer that question? Can anybody answer this question? No, they can't refute this truth. If God gave His Son for us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God stands ready to grant you. And to prove how ready He's ready to grant it to you, He's already given something better than all of that, and that's His Son. He that won't hold His Son won't hold any good thing from them that walk upright before Him. Somebody say amen. And the devil can lie and tell you, no, if He's not giving you something, it's not in His will, but anything that's in His will and is good for you, God is going to give it to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He gave His Son. Don't doubt His love because of the immediate circumstance or what you feel. He gave His Son. I have went through trials, and the devil said, if God loved you, He wouldn't let you go through that. Honey, it's exactly because He loved me that He let me go through that. Lest I be lifted up above measure. Amen? Another question. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Question mark. Who can prosecute you in God's courtroom? Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is called our advocate with the Father. Whew. Who do you think is going to win in God's courtroom? He that bears the scars, who took the punishment for the sin that we're confessing, or the one that's accusing us of the sin? Christ is going to win. Can you say amen? So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Satan can't do it. So don't condemn yourself. If Satan can't, we shouldn't. Can you say amen? Everybody say, if Satan can't, we shouldn't. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus, it is He who died. Yes, who rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Oh, what you've got in your corner is so glorious. Another question. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then the answer is kind of given here. Who? Would tribulation, can you do it? Distress, can you do it? Persecution, can you do it? Famine, can you do it? Nakedness or peril of sword? just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him that loved us. So I'm convinced, because none of these questions can be addressed by the enemy of our soul, I am convinced that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because He loves us, He's going to lift us up. Because He loves us, He's going to forgive us. Because He loved us, He's going to give us victory. Because He loves us, He's going to keep on keeping on investing in our life just because He loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you when you're sick and haven't been healed. Doesn't affect His love. Shall that separate us from His love? No! Famine, sword, nakedness, no! The devil comes and said, God love you, wouldn't be going through this. And Paul says, no! Love is not expressed in what He's doing or what is happening to me in this moment. What He did for me on that cross and what it means to my eternal life with Him. Amen? I will not let love be defined by just what I feel or sense at any given time. It's what God has done, and it's what He's doing and what He's going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that brings us to Holy Communion. The Lord wants you to know that He loves you just like you are.